In our completion project, the verse that I want to share with you this morning is kind of a takeoff from where we were last week as we were talking about living sacrifices from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that encouraged us or challenged us to give ourselves up or our bodies up as a living sacrifice. And then in Romans 12, 2, the verse on the screen here says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The thing that I want to point out here is that all of us need this change. We need to be changed. And that's why I'm emphasizing that completion project, Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," or until the day of his return. And so there is this completing that God is doing. Now, he says there can be a transformation come about in us, a change that will take place in us as a result of changing the way that we think. So that's why I came up with the title of Changing the Way You Think. It's part of our transformation. Now, that word transform or transformation, and I've shared this with you many times, it actually comes from a Greek word, which is very, very similar to our English word metamorphosis. We are changed, and there's a process of change, just like the metamorphosis of a larva into a butterfly, or the metamorphosis of a tadpole into a frog. There is a change that takes place in us, and the Lord said that change will come about as a result of changing the way that you think. So there's a lot to do with the way that we think, and the emphasis is on that here this morning. I would ask you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 10. And in this passage of Scripture and the following ones, we're going to see that there is a difference between us being captive or being the captor. You're either held captive or you are the one that takes captives. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather be the captor than be the captive. And this is going to give us the clue as to, you know, which are you going to be? Or taking precaution as to not becoming the captive, instead become the captor. Okay, so Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every other ruler and authority." The things that I want you to see in this is the challenge for us first to continue to follow Jesus. You'll remember that our mission and purpose is to love God and people too and make followers of Jesus. Here's the challenge for us to be followers ourselves, to continue to follow Jesus. It says, rooted in him and built on him. Rooted in him and built on him. And the result of that then is a faith that is strong in the truth. Note that word truth. This is going to be a significant thing when we are talking about changing the way that we think. Not conform to the world, but transform by changing the way that we think. Truth is going to have a big part of that. In here it talks about don't let anyone capture you. Don't let anyone capture you. And then it goes on to describe those things that take hold of us. And again, it's in the ways that we are thinking. It says in empty philosophies, in high-sounding nonsense. I like the way that that's described, high-sounding. Boy, is there ever a lot of high-sounding nonsense going on today. You just watch the news for just a little bit, and a whole lot of high-sounding nonsense. It is sourced in human thinking, and it's sourced in the spiritual powers of this world. Very interesting to note that. We'll see more of the connection there between the powers of this world and human thinking that's going on. I wanted to share this from the New American Standard Translation that says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception." according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So, see, we're always going to have these choices about the information that we're receiving and what we're holding fast to. It can either be along or in obedience to Christ or in connection with Christ, or it will be in connection with this world, the philosophies of this world, the empty deception, traditions of men, elementary principles of the world. These are the things that we have to guard ourselves from being taken captive by. And then it says, you are complete through your union with Christ. This is the direction we're headed in this series, being made complete, the completion project. A part of that completion is when we are connected to Jesus and our thoughts are lining up with His instead of being taken captive or held captive by the empty deception and the philosophies of this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. More about this possible captivity and guarding ourselves against it, or helping others get out of that captivity. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Now here we're seeing, again, the difference between a freedom and a captivity. It says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Okay, so there is a challenge that we have. First of all, that we would not be opposers to the truth. But then there's also others that are opposing the truth, and it causes them to come to a place of captivity. It says, then perhaps they will come to their senses. You know, when I hear that, come to their senses, I can't help but think of the parable of the prodigal son. And he got in such a point of desperation, it says, and he came to his senses. Finally, he understood that the ways of the world were not going to satisfy him. In fact, he was in the deepest depravity as a result of going the ways of the world. And he knew that his place was in his Father's house. He came to his senses, and that's when he made the turnaround and began to go back home. Perhaps they will come to their senses. It says they will learn the truth. They will escape the devil's trap because they have been held captive. There is a possibility of being held captive, held in the devil's trap as a result of opposing the truth. So what are we going to accept? What are we going to receive? What are we going to base our lives on? Will it be empty deceptions? Will we end up in captivity to Satan even? Escape the devil's trap, it says. Okay, then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Again, I'm sharing this from the New American Standard. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Everyone say fortresses. Okay, there are fortresses that are established, either good or bad. Now, this is talking about destruction of fortresses. Okay, so we're going to find out how we deal with wrong fortresses or bad fortresses. It says we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now remember in Romans 12 too, it says that we would be transformed by changing the way that we think. That means you got to do something with the thoughts that come to you. Okay, you're thinking things all the time, and people are feeding you information all the time, and you have to discern, okay, is this empty deception? Is this the traditions of man? Is this the base philosophies of this world? Or is this God's ways, God's thoughts? We're always having to discern that. It says we have to take those thoughts captive. Okay, so you're either captured by empty deception, according to the traditions of man, or you are a captor. When the thoughts that come are contrary to God, who is the truth, and you take it captive and you don't let it rule. You don't let it become a stronghold. That doesn't mean thoughts won't come to your mind, but you have to learn what to do with those thoughts. And here it says, again, to take those thoughts captive. You become the captor rather than being captured. Obviously, again, this requires discernment. You got to know, okay, what's this thought and what's the source of this thought? But two things need to be acknowledged as a result of this, what is happening. One of them is that the battleground is in the mind. The battleground is in the mind. And the other thing is that we are dealing with truth versus lies. Those are the two things that we need to understand when we're talking about being transformed by changing the way that we think. There is a battleground. It is in your mind. And we're dealing with truth versus lies. And you know, this sounds very, very simple. It sounds very, very simple. But the reality is people are walking around with a whole bunch of deception, a whole bunch of lies that have been embraced and have become strongholds so much to rob us of the life that Jesus came to give us. That would be a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So the battleground in the mind, that's one of the things that we deal with. Now, first of all, I don't want to compartmentalize ourselves as individuals, but we know that we are three-part in our being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." Okay, so we understand the different parts of the makeup of man. And it's very, very interesting. You know, we were made in the image of God, and God is a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made in His image, and we are also a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And the soul part of man is the mind or the will or the emotions. So when we're talking about the mind, really this is a soul thing that we are dealing with, or the soul, again, is the mind and the will and the emotions functioning together. So it talks then about taking every thought captive. So we need to know the source of the thoughts. Those thoughts, again, oftentimes become the base of our life. And so we would call that a stronghold, again, or a fortress. It can be a good thing or it can be a negative thing. And this is talking about dealing with the negative strongholds or the negative fortresses. One of the sources of that battle, or one of the sources of those thoughts, is the father of all lies. In Scripture, he is described as the accuser of the brethren. Okay, so when you start feeling accused, you start feeling condemned, you start feeling unworthy, and boy, I tell you what, if that is a stronghold in your life, it will completely determine the outcome of your life. But no, you have to understand that, okay, the source of that thought or the source of that stronghold is the accuser of the brethren, who is the father of all lies. So what lies am I embracing in my life? What lies have become a stronghold in my life and is affecting my life's outcome, is affecting the way I interact with other people because I feel so unworthy or I feel so condemned? The father of all lies. He is also called the God of this world. And as a result of that, then, this is why Romans 12:2 is saying, don't be conformed to this world. The world, or I would say the cultural environment, trying to get backed up here, the cultural environment that we live in is a result of who's God of it. So you're always dealing with, whenever you're interacting with this world, and remember, Jesus said, "I'm not going to take you out of this world." And he says, "Father, don't take them out of this world, but protect them from the evil one." Okay, so we don't go and we don't isolate ourselves and become like a pillar monk, you know, monks who lived on top of a pillar so they never had to interact with anyone who would, you know, make them less holy than they were supposed to be. That's not what God intended. So here we're supposed to be interacting in the world, but whenever we're receiving information from the world, we have to look at that information. What is the source of that? The cultural environment is based on the God of this world. And the God of this world is the accuser of the brethren. So make note of the fact that you will be accused often by listening to this world system, the information from this world. Boy, I tell you, it's more and more that, as we prayed even in the first part of our service, the discrimination that is happening against Christians. Christianity is the worst discriminated religion in this nation. All others, everyone has to make room for it with tolerance, you know. But you come to, you know, bring your Bible into work or bring your Bible into school, and they say you can't do that. There's a separation. You can't do that. So there's all kind of discrimination going on. Why is that? Because of the God of this world. And so this is one of the sources of those strongholds that happens. Another source of strongholds is life experience. And here's where we really have to be careful, because we take what happens to us and we call that reality. We have resulting conclusions as a result of the things that have happened to us, and we call these things reality. Now, I just want to make reference to, you know, children that live in an abusive household, maybe verbally abusive, you know, mental torture on children. You know, they can develop with such strongholds, such things that are preventing them from walking in the life that God has for them because of their life experience. And they said, this is true. This is reality. I am no good. I am a problem child. And it develops such a stronghold in their life that they don't have freedom at all. So we have to be taking these thoughts. And remember, Romans 12:2, transform by changing the way that you think. Changing the way that you think. We got to learn how to deal with the lies that are on the inside of us, that have become strongholds, that have become fortresses on the inside of us. We've got to learn how to deal with those lies. There is another source. Well, let me share this first. Some of the resulting strongholds that happen as a result of the accuser of the brethren and because of our life experiences. One of them is fear of failure. Now, how many times do we not venture out? We don't risk because we're afraid of failure. Maybe one of your life experiences has been there's something that you anticipated doing and it didn't turn out the way you expected, and so you felt like you were a failure. And so therefore, you're never going to step out and try anything again. That's a stronghold. That's a fortress that's been established in your life as a result of your life experience, and now you're afraid of failure. Unforgiveness can be a stronghold. Someone has wounded you. Someone has damaged you emotionally. And you're going to hold on to that. You know, I have shared this with you many, many times, that unforgiveness is like drinking poisons, hoping the other person will die. It only kills you. It only kills you. But it's a stronghold that can prevent you from living life to its fullest. About pride. The scripture also, you know, if I was to bring a lot of balance here, I would say, you know, the scripture speaks about not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay, so that's the opposite of the accuser of the brethren. Still, we can't let pride exalt us to a place where we ought not be. Lust can be a fortress, can be a stronghold that rules people's lives, that takes them captive. Greed. How many people are losing their relationship with their children because they've got to be out there supplying all the finances that they have rolled into debt because of all the things that they've acquired because of their greed. And they have no time for their family because they've got to make money. Unbelief. You know, and really, unbelief is challenging the integrity of God. You say, I don't believe that. You know, the Word of God comes to us and it gives us promises and so forth, and we live our lives contrary to that because we've embraced a lie instead. And what we're doing is we're really challenging the integrity of God, saying, Lord, I don't believe that. Unbelief can be a stronghold, can be a fortress in our life. Okay, so we've got to learn how to deal with these things. The positive fortress. Remember, when we're talking about fortresses or strongholds, there can be positive ones as well as the negative. And the positive ones end up coming from the father of all truth. See, there is the father of all lies, who is the devil, but God is the father of all truth. And Jesus makes that very clear in his prayer in John chapter 17. You read through the whole prayer, but in verse 17, he says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Okay, so very, very plain to us, the scripture is the truth. Anytime you receive thoughts or information that is contrary to this, you have to take those thoughts captive, deal with them, and embrace the truth instead. There's people who want to defy that and say, no, 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 that's not trite. That's not right. My life experience is such. You know, or our culture is evolving. And so these things that were said way back when are not the same as today because our culture has evolved. That's a lie. That is a deception. That is a vain philosophy of this world that we cannot allow to hold us, take us captive. What do you want to be, captive or the captor? I want to be the captor. And so we take hold or we take captive those thoughts that are contrary to the word of God, which is truth. Very, very plain. Again, Romans 3, chapter 4 says, even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. Everyone say, God is true. You must be convinced of that, people, because people are going to try and convince you otherwise with sly and subtle lies that go contrary to the word of God. So it says, take those thoughts captive, bring them into obedience of Christ, bring them back to the word. God's word is truth. We'll be battling between lies and the truth, and that's where you're going to have to take the thoughts captive, bring them to obedience. So again, this passage in Second Timothy 2 spoke about escaping the devil's trap. Escaping the devil's trap. We escape his traps by learning the truth and by choosing with the truth. But whatever your strongholds are, they are going to determine your response to life's issues. See, we're all going to have life issues. We're all going to have things that are happening in our lives that we have to know, how do I properly respond to this? You are going to respond according to those fortresses or those strongholds that are in your life. The things that you are agreeing with on a regular basis in your thoughts are going to be how you respond to life's issues. Deception results in bondage. Truth results in freedom. It's your choice. You want to be captive or you want to be the captor? Deception results in bondage. Truth results in freedom. Okay, so let's take some time in dealing with the truth. Remember, it said in that passage, it said, faith strong in the truth prevents us from being taken captive. And those opposing truth had to come to their senses. It says, you know, maybe God will allow them to come to their senses if they stop opposing the truth. So opposing the truth causes people to lose their senses. So we don't want to be people that are opposing the truth. You know, in the scripture, part of the armor of God is called the belt of truth. And when we have just talked in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, about divinely powerful weapons for the pulling down of strongholds or the destruction of fortresses, part of that weaponry that God has given us as expressed in the metaphor of an armor in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, part of that is the belt of truth. It's one of those things that we utilize against the lies and the deception that come to us from the God of this world, the father of all lies and even our life experiences. Here's a tremendous example. I'm not going to have you turn there, but just make reference to it. You're probably all quite familiar with the fall of man and the deception of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6, this is what I'm calling the battle for the truth. See, God's word is truth. And God said to the man and his wife, he said, you can eat from any tree of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will die. In the day that you eat of it, you will die. That's God's word. He gave that to them for their life experience to be one of life. And so the serpent comes along, and he starts to challenge Eve. He says this, if you eat of it, well, this is what God said, I'm sorry, if you eat of it, you will die. And the serpent responded, you won't die. He contradicts the word of God. He brings in deception. He brings in an element of contradiction. It says, no, you won't die. And the result of that, the result of not taking that thought captive and bringing it into obedience to the word of God, which is the truth, it says in verse 6, the woman was convinced. The woman was convinced. Now, did that affect the outcome of her life, of Adam's life, who was there with her and partook with her? Did that happen to affect the outcome of our experience here on earth? Boy, I tell you, did it ever? Because they were convinced of something different than the truth. Deception came. There was the battle for the truth, and they gave it up. They became captives instead of captors. My wife, Melanie, did a message. I looked it up. It was back in August of 2001. I think I was on a motorcycle trip or something because, you know, I listened to the message and I was gone. But, man, I was impressed with what she shared, not just because she's my wife. I mean, she impresses me that way, too. But, you know, it was very succinct, and she did this message called Telling Yourself the Truth. And it related to some of these issues that we deal with. You know, lies come, and we end up responding to the lies instead of responding to the truth. And this was something that she gave us in that message, using the word truth as an acronym. And T stands for a trigger event. Something happens in your life, or some kind of news comes your way, or there's a challenge to the truth, like, you know, Eve received this challenge from the serpent. You know, you will not die. There's a trigger event that happens. And then there is the, if there is the wrong thinking, and wrong obviously starts with a W, not an R, but so does arithmetic. When you say the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, okay, it starts with an A, not an R, right? Okay, so we can make that adjustment. But wrong thinking, if you buy the lie, then the U stands for an unhealthy reaction. And this thing keeps advancing anyway. However, if instead you tell yourself the truth, taking the wrong thinking captive, then the result of that will be a healthy reaction. A healthy reaction. That's good to keep in mind. Okay, how am I responding to this trigger event? How am I responding? Am I going to respond correctly or wrong? Because it's going to have a significant impact on my reaction or my response and the outcome. So again, what it requires is discerning your thoughts. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." I want you to make note of that word, established in the truth. There is the expectation that we would not have to flounder for the truth or be continually searching. Every time a thought comes to you, if you are established in the truth, then you're going to know, you know, that's not right. You know, the TV pundits just said this about our economic situation. You know, but God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things you need to eat or clothing or... Don't worry, because it's not going to add a single day to your life by worrying about those things. In fact, God knows you need those things. So you know what? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know what? I'm going to go for the added side instead of the worry side. Is that going to make a difference in your life? Absolutely. What do you want to be? Held captive by worry or free? By letting God add, because you're seeking Him. Established in the truth is going to allow you to easily discern those thoughts that come. And how do you get established in the truth? You've got to make this the foundation of your life. Thy word, O God, is truth. That's what Jesus said. You can either agree with Jesus or argue with Him. But He said, Thy word, O God, is truth. So here it is, people. This is what you want to be established in. And yet we neglect this so much. How many of us, we go home and put our, you know, even if you even brought your Bible, you go home and you put it on the shelf and it sits there until next Sunday. Maybe if you even bring it then. Ooh, Pastor, quit being so hard on us. But I tell you what, I don't want you to be taken captive. I don't want you to be without the truth. I don't want you to be ignorant to the Word of God. I don't want to be ignorant myself. So this means we develop some disciplines in our life to realize, okay, if this is truth, if Jesus said, God, your word is truth, and if truth is going to make the difference for whether I'm captive or a captor, I want to know what the truth is. I want to be established in the truth. Okay, so enough on that word established. But here is in our discerning our thoughts, I want to toss this up to you, and I know it's a little bit gross, but this comes from a message that I heard years and years and years ago by a gentleman by the name of Albert Willis. Some of you may recognize that name, but I remember him. You know, he was in Owatonna, and so we were there, you know, listening to him, you know, directly. And he said, you know, he says, when a thought comes to my mind, he says, and I have to deal with that thought. If it lines up with the Word of God, okay, I embrace it. If it doesn't, I spit it out. You know, he kept just doing that. If it lines up with the Word of God, good, I'm going to embrace it. If it doesn't, you know, it's a little gross, but you know what? I remembered it. And so that's why I'm putting this up for you guys. You know, there might be a better way to remember, you know, that's not quite as gross. But anyway, you know, it's like, what do you do with the thoughts that come that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the truth? What are you going to do with them? You don't embrace them. You don't meditate on them. You don't dwell on them. You get rid of them. Cast it off. Casting down vain imaginations, it said. So if it takes to get it out, do it. You know, do something that's going to, I don't know, some people wear a rubber band, and when they think the wrong way, snap! Oh, there's an association with that. I'm not going to think that way again. Ooh, that hurt. You know, so inflict some kind of pain or something, you know, so that you're not embracing the things that are going to take you captive. Spit it out. I hate people that, I'm saying that wrong. I don't hate people that spit. I hate spitting. Oh, I see a lot of it. Kids walk in front of the bus when I'm sitting there waiting. And I go, oh, you know, now people are going to walk in that loogie. What's the matter with you? Softball game we were playing at a couple of weeks ago. I was walking in front of a row of guys on the bench and I go, well, wait a minute. I said, are you going to do that again? Because I'm walking in front of you. I want to wait until you're all done. Ew. That's gross. You know, but if it will bring to your mind, you know, what to hold on to and what to get rid of, just do it. You know, not literally spit, you know, just do it, though. Get rid of it. Okay, this is such a vital, this next passage of Scripture is so vital for us to understand it, and we need to understand the context of it. This is Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. It says, do not eat bread, the bread of a selfish man, or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. In other words, here's a man who's stingy, and that's the way he is on the inside of him. That's the way he thinks. As he thinks, so is he. But yet he's coming off like, you know what? I want to be generous. So you know what? Eat and drink. But he really doesn't want you to because he's a stingy man. He's a selfish man. So it says, don't eat his bread. Don't eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies because he really doesn't want you to enjoy them. He's a selfish man. That's the way he thinks on the inside, and that's the way he is. Okay, so the whole point of this verse here, the application of this verse is not, you know, just don't eat with someone who's selfish, but the application of this is the way the person thinks on the inside of them is the way that they are. Okay, so for us, the application is we are what we think. So remember, Romans 12:2 again, transformed, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by changing the way that you think, because the way that you think is the way that you are going to be. As a man thinks within himself, so he is. So transformation then comes by changing the way that you think in these ways. First of all, embracing the truth. Taking captive opposing thoughts, not opposing the truth. Remember, it said that those were taken captive, held captive by Satan to do his will, because they were opposing the truth. And I would also say not suppressing the truth. Romans chapter 1 talks about people suppressing the truth. They know the truth about God, but they suppress the truth and they end up worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And God allows them to the depravity of their mind. I don't want to be, you know, just Lord saying to me, think what you think. Think what you want. Even if it's suppressing the truth. You know the truth, but you're suppressing it. Go ahead. Think that way. And we end up in the consequences of our lives of being held captive by the lie rather than walking in the freedom of the truth. You know, just an example again that I would want to use is, you know, how many people has the devil rendered useless and unfruitful, thinking that they are unworthy? As a man thinks, so he is. A person who thinks they're unworthy, that's the way they're going to be. And they'll be rendered useless and unfruitful just because of that stronghold. You know, last week the Lord sang back to us. Stephanie had this word from the Lord in song. We sang to the Lord and then he sang back to us. You know, and I believe that the Lord would do that more frequently if we would have ears to hear that. You know, we sing songs like, you know, worthy, you are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. And I think the Lord would sing back to us a song like, worthy, you are worthy, though you sinned, I've forgiven, and you are worthy. No, we sang, holy, you are holy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are holy. And he would sing back, holy, you are holy, you've been washed with the word and you've made holy. Jesus, you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus. And he'd respond back, Christian, little Christ one. See, we've been taken captive by the unworthy, unholy. You can't measure up to God's standards. That's the accuser of the brethren. And he's trying to take you captive to prevent you from being useful and fruitful for the Lord's sake. And God is responding back to us, you know what? There is no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. That's the truth of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You are not unworthy. I've made you to be worthy. And see, this is where the grace of God takes over and makes us to be what we can't be on our own. Righteous. I've made you to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's the word of God. It's the truth. He who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus took our sin and gave us God's righteousness. That's the truth. Don't be held captive in a lie that says you're unworthy, you're unrighteous. Embrace the truth. When the thoughts come, the accusing thoughts, spit them out. Get rid of them. Be the captor of your thoughts rather than held captive by the thoughts. Finally, that's what Scripture says. You can turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4. By the way, just because I said finally and just because this verse says finally doesn't mean it's the last one I have. Sorry. This is where finally means we're kind of getting close to the end. Philippians 4. Six through eight. Well, here again, you know, don't worry about anything. That's what God's word says. Don't worry about anything, but instead, okay, so here's what we're supposed to do instead. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So this tells us where to focus our thoughts, what we're to focus on. Again, it says, don't worry about anything. Tell God what you need. Don't worry about the economy. Tell God what you need. And then it says you'll experience a peace that's beyond understanding. In other words, there's no natural reason for your peace. In other words, just because you prayed and told God your need doesn't mean the stock market goes back up. There's no natural reason for the peace that you get, but all of a sudden you're flooded with the peace of God because you have exchanged your concern, your anxiety, your worry for His peace. There's been an exchange that goes on, a peace that's beyond understanding. And then it says, fix your thoughts. Think about these things, as it lists out there in verse 8. Think about these things. Okay, so this is my last passage of Scripture from 1 Peter 1, 13 through 15. It says, so think clearly. Think clearly. And exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Again, you know, Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by changing the way that you think. This verse is saying, think clearly. Think clearly. Don't slip back. Don't be taken captive again by the base philosophies of this world, the traditions of men, the empty deceptions. Don't be taken captive again. Don't go back. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Let's pray before we go into the interactive questions. Lord, from your word, I just see the significance of this message about what we do with the things that we think and how it is that we think these things, the strongholds or the fortresses that are established in our minds, and what is the source of these fortresses. Lord, if they're in contradiction to you, to your word, to the truth, we've got to get rid of them. We've got to pull them down. We've got to use the belt of truth as a part of that divinely powerful weapons to bring those fortresses down. We've got to use the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, the truth. Again, Lord, you have exalted your Word even above your name. And it is that sword, it is that offensive weapon against the lies and the deceptions of the God of this world and the world culture that he expresses his lies through. So, Lord, help us in using our weaponry. Help us to pull down, to destroy those strongholds. Help us to be the captors, Lord, not the captives. Help us to walk in the truth that brings freedom rather than lies that ends up in captivity and bondage. Lord, I pray that you would, whether it's through spitting or snapping a rubber band, or we might come up with creative ways, Lord, by which we can take those thoughts captive to realize when a thought is coming that's contrary to you and to know how to get rid of it. I get a picture of like a branding iron, and my request, Lord, is that you brand these things on our hearts to stay there. In Jesus' name, amen.